Okay, today we are continuing our study of Romans. We are actually moving into chapter 5 today, and we're going to be taking 2 weeks. Chapter 5 is a great chapter. I especially like the second half. Will be in the next section, but this is a good section too. So just by way of review, what have we seen so far? Romans 1 through 3, or really the middle of 3, we see the theme as being all have sinned and therefore are deserving of God's judgment. And when we say all, who's included in all? Good people, bad people, Jews, Gentiles, every one of us. And we are deserving of God's judgment. And that's because God is so holy that he cannot, that sin cannot even exist around him. But he came up with a plan, and that plan was the gift of justification. So in Romans 3 and 4, and also in chapter 5, we see an elaboration of God's wonderful gift of justification because he loved us and he did not want us to face judgment. It's a gift, it's by faith, and this gift of justification, we've talked about it before, but means that we have been declared or pronounced righteous. And we are, you know, when he sees the blood of Jesus covering us, he passes over the judgment that is really due to us, because the blood of Jesus covers all unrighteousness. Okay, and then in Romans 4 and 5, Romans 3 is that transition where we're introduced to the gift of justification. Romans 4, the focus is on the faith aspect of our justification. And we saw how Abraham was given as a beautiful example of that. And then Romans 5, where we're going right now, focuses on the grace aspect of our justification. So let's read Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, so we're talking about, you know, because of this justification that we receive by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so justification brings with it peace, but not just any ordinary peace. This is the peace of God. Now, everyone around the world, people are looking for peace. And of course, a lot of it, they're looking for peace from war and from political oppression and all that. And that's very important. But that's not what's being talked about here. This is what's talked about here is an inner peace. And you know, people pay enormous amounts of money around the world for anything that might bring them some type of inner peace. I mean, people go to counseling, they read self-help books, and you know, I'm not saying that there's not a place for some of that, but these things cannot truly bring peace. They can maybe get us to the place that we can maybe receive peace a little bit. Some people feel like travel, if I travel and I try to discover who I am, that's going to help me. Well, it might help in discovering who you are, but it's not going to bring peace. Some people feel like if I buy more, you know, guys, it could be, oh, that car, if I had that car, I know I would have peace. But you know what? It doesn't give us peace. You know, for women, it might be other things. It could be a car, but it could be clothing. Of course, for men, it could be clothing too. You know, some people feel like relationships. If I could get a boyfriend, if I could get a girlfriend, that would kind of make my life complete. I would feel satisfied inside. I would have peace. But the reality is only justification, only the gift of justification can bring true peace. And so I think we've got to ask ourselves, have we received this gift of justification? If we have, do we understand it? Because sometimes maybe we have, but we don't really understand the beauty of it, the power of it, and how it can give us that peace. It is the peace of God. Let me just kind of mention a couple of verses. I mean, we could have a whole study on just the peace of God. But let's just kind of look at just a couple verses here. Philippians 4, verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God," that's what we're talking about, that's what justification brings, it says, "which surpasses all comprehension." In other words, we can't even understand it with our human body. How can I have peace when I'm going through what I'm going through? But this is the peace of God that he wants to give us. It says, "will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And that's the thing about, God's peace. It does guard our hearts. It guards our mind. It protects us from the onslaught of fear and worry and anxiety and accusations and insults. We have a peace that we can't even understand. That is what God wants to give us. But again, it only comes through justification. John 14, verse 27. Another beautiful verse, one of my favorites about peace. And this is Jesus talking. He says, he's talking to his disciples, and he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." So God gives us a peace that's unlike that of the world. And there may be troubles around us. There may be fears around us. But that peace of God that Jesus gives us is something that transcends all that. Colossians 3, verse 15. It talks about the peace of God. And it says, hold on for a second. Colossians 3, verse 15. It says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." That's right. God's peace can rule. It can reign in our hearts. And that is exactly what God wants to see in each of our Christian lives. So the peace of God brings the peace to every area of our life. Circumstances may not change. And I think a lot of times people confuse this. They want peace and they think of peace as if all my circumstances in life would just kind of get normal and they would all calm down, then I'd have peace. But see, this is a peace that God gives us in the midst of all our circumstances, no matter where they are. Okay, verse 2. "Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God." So here we see that justification is really just an introduction to a brand new way of life. It's a life of grace. That's why it says we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace. The picture I get is that justification is like a door in which we enter when we receive this gift of justification, but we enter into a different world or a different realm. Actually, it's the kingdom of God. One in which grace reigns and rules. Ephesians 2, we'll refer to this quite a bit, a little bit later, and especially next session. But the riches of his grace, Ephesians 2 talks about that. There's so much included in the grace of God that he wants us to experience it. So really, justification is just, as it says here in verse 2, an introduction into this grace. Now, maybe we should kind of mention this here too. There's two aspects of grace. The first one is God's favor, his graciousness, even when we don't deserve it, which by the way is always, For example, we have been saved by grace and not by works, right? Okay, we know that verse, and we tend to think of God's grace as getting into the kingdom of God, giving our life to Jesus, being regenerated, receiving the gift of justification. And that's true. That is God's grace, and we don't deserve it. But there's a second aspect of God's grace that many Christians don't understand. And it's a very important one. And that is God's power actually working in us to live the life that God has called us to. You know, a lot of times we kind of, I talk to people all the time that say, you know, I just can't live out the Christian life. It's too hard. The standards are too hard. You know, it's impossible. I'm only human. And that's all true. But God's grace is an inner power that he gives to us, and that we don't deserve that either, you know, to help us to be able to live out the Christian life. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. We could look at many verses about this, but let's just look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And starting in verse 9, and we'll read verse 10 as well. It says, and he, speaking of Jesus, has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, there is a grace of God. There's a power. God's grace here is that power, his power working inside of us to help us to be able to live the Christian life. And that's why Paul says here, I'm content with my weaknesses. Actually, that's a very important part of receiving that type of grace, is when I recognize that, Lord, I can't do this. I'm too weak. All of a sudden, I qualify for God's grace. But if I'm kind of thinking, I got this, I can do this, it's almost like God's grace doesn't flow through us like he wants us to. But when we come to the place where we're saying and recognize that I can't do this, I'm content with my weaknesses because I know I can't do it, then his grace is there and it's sufficient for everything. You know, it's the power of Christ inside of me. And so it's the grace of God that teaches us and allows us to rejoice when it's hard to rejoice, or to love when it's hard to, when it's difficult to love, or when, or to keep walking when we feel like quitting. God's grace is that power. Actually, the Greek word there for power is the word we get dynamite from. It's dynamos. And so it's powerful. It changes things. And that's the power that he places in us. It's his grace. And justification is our introduction into this world of grace, where we can experience the riches of his grace. And there's so much there. So much there. And again, we don't deserve any of it. The riches of his grace. We need to enter into that realm, don't we? It also says here, it's a grace in which we now stand. It's solid ground. God doesn't just declare us righteous, only to have us fall time again and again, trying to work hard to walk out this Christian life. It doesn't work that way. He gives us the power, his grace, to be able to walk and to walk consistently. So we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And then let's read verses 3 through 5. It keeps going on. It says, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Okay, now actually the last part of verse 2 says, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And that word exult means to celebrate or even to leap with joy. And so at the end of verse 2, because we've been introduced into a new realm of His grace, where the riches of His grace are just always there to be explored and to be lived in, you know, we can exult in that hope. But verse 3 kind of says, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's given to us. So we, tribulation, by the way, this is a progression we see in a lot of the scriptures, that God will actually use trials in our life, things we don't understand, things that are beyond us, tribulation. He will use tribulation and he to produce perseverance in us. Now, there's a condition of that. We have to be walking in His grace. And then that perseverance leads us to proven character, the character of Jesus, right? We become more and more like Him. And then that gives us hope, And it says, and hope doesn't disappoint. So there's a progression here. But here's the thing. There's a grace in which we now stand and walk that allows us supernaturally to see God work in all these things. In tribulation, perseverance, proven character, hope, all those things. That's His idea. So this life of grace doesn't mean we get rid of all tribulation, but rather even the tribulation, the difficult things, the bad circumstances, they're being used to what? To actually make us stronger. That's God's plan for us. And then the last thing it says it leads to is the love of God being poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That's the end result. That's the hope that doesn't disappoint. In other words, God's love, His amazing, wonderful, incredible love, He wants it to, because we're walking in this road of grace, this journey of grace, it begins to flow through us to the world around us. And it says it's been poured out within our hearts. It's not just a trickle, but a pouring out within our hearts. You probably remember where Jesus in John 7, He was talking about the same thing. He was saying, maybe verse 38, He who believes in Me, as the scripture said, from His innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And that living water goes around and touches other people. Again, it's not a trickle. It's rivers. And it's not just one river. It's rivers, plural. That is what God is doing. So looking at this as a whole, this door of justification that we've been talking about for the last 5 or 6 weeks now, it leads us into an abundance of the Christian life. There's hope. There's peace that's beyond, understanding, all comprehension. It leads us to the riches of His grace, and it leads to His love being poured out within our hearts. This is God's plan for us. See, some people kind of think, well, you know what I don't like about that message of justification is that He declares us righteous and then we can just kind of live how we want to live. No, it doesn't really work that way. It is the door in which we are transformed and changed as we walk through the justification door where He declares us righteous. But then His intent is to change us and change us completely, to where His love is flowing out of our hearts and touching many others around us. This is what God wants. And next week, we really want to start getting into, we're going to see this in even a fuller way, what God has for us. Okay, let's look at verses 6 through 10 now. And this is almost like a parenthesis. It's a very important parenthesis, by the way. But he's talking about grace in verses 1 through 5. And then in starting verse 12 to the rest of the chapter, he keeps talking about grace. But here, he talks about, in the middle, God's gift of justification shows God's love for us. And that's important because God's, when we see God's love, that's, remember, that's the love he wants to pour out into our hearts. So let's kind of read this, you know, now, verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Okay, that's kind of a mouthful, but it talks about how Jesus died for us. His love was so great for us that he died for us while we were still helpless, it says in verse 6. While we were ungodly, it says in verse 6. While we were yet sinners, it says in verse 8. Even while we were enemies, verse 10. That's how big God's love is for us. That even before we came to know him, he actually died for us. Actually, in this passage, it refers to Jesus dying for us 5 times. Because that is the ultimate of his love for us. And God doesn't wait until we improve drastically before he loves us. That's why we can't get our lives together before giving our life to him. And that's something I hear a lot when I talk to people. They say, Mike, yeah, you know, this all makes sense. I really want to become a Christian. I really want to follow Christ. I want to embrace this lifestyle. But to be honest, I'm just not there yet. I've got some things I've got to get right first. And that can be a deception because you'll never get it right. Because you need the power of Christ. You need his grace in order to what? To be changed. And so, because he died for us while we were still helpless. We couldn't do anything. While we were ungodly. While we were sinners. And even while we were enemies. Because we were enemies of God, because we rejected his way of living for our own way of living. So in that sense, we were all enemies, some maybe more drastically than others. So Christ died for us even before we came to him. And then it says in verse 9, having now been justified, by the way, we see that over and over in this chapter, don't we? Having been justified, now this has happened. Having been justified, we can see this. That's, again, just reinforces that idea that justification is our gate into, or the doorway into a new realm of living in him and reigning with him in grace. Having now been justified, we're saved from the wrath of God by his blood. We've already talked a lot about this, but his blood makes this possible. When we receive his gift of justification, we become righteous. We become justified. Someone defined it this way. It's as if we had never sinned. Yeah, we have sinned, but it would be as if we never had. That's how thoroughly Jesus' blood cleanses us, and therefore all judgment is eliminated. And then he goes on in verse 10 and saying, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So what does it mean to be reconciled? Well, it means to two parties that were at odds with one another. There's a big gap. Reconciliation brings them together. Now, I do a lot of, as a pastor, I get together with people probably too often where, you know, it could be business partners, it could be husband and wife, it could be family members, it could be brothers and sisters within the church, but where there's misunderstanding, they need to be reconciled. Usually, I've kind of discovered it's not 100% one and zero on the other. It's usually maybe 15 here, 85, probably usually 60, 40, something like that. But in this case, it's not like God did anything. We were 100% to blame. And yet, it's God who reached down to us with an offer of reconciliation 100%. It doesn't make sense. Why would someone want to be reconciled if they're 100% in the right? And not only that, but God actually provides a way for us to be reconciled by dying for us. That is love. That is God's love. And that's the beauty of these chapters here in the middle of these verses in the middle of chapter 5. They describe God's love. He loved us even while we were sinners. He loved us even though and went the extra mile to be reconciled to us because he loved us. That, brothers and sisters, is the love of God that is being placed and poured out within our hearts. Last part of that verse says, and we shall be saved by his life. That word saved in that context means not just given the gift of justification, but it refers to the total deliverance that he has for us, which is really sort of a preview of chapters 6, 7, and 8 of Romans, which we'll get to later. Just a couple other things real quick. There's another phrase in here, much more. We see it in verse 9, we see it in verse 10, we see it in verse 15, we see it in verse 17. If he loved us so much while we were still sinners and ungodly and enemies, will he not also love us much more now that we're walking in his ways, right? He has opened the door to the riches of his grace. And next week, we could jump into really one of my favorite sections in all of Romans, because it talks about grace reigning in our lives. That is God's idea. But I think for today, I think if we can kind of see that the gift of justification has provided a door, it provides an introduction into a new way of living. You could call it the life of grace, where we begin to explore and to experience the riches of his grace. That's what he's called us to. Romans 5:11, it says, and not only this, by the way, that's another phrase that he keeps saying, and not only this, and not only this, and not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation, which we were just talking about. This is actually the third time it mentions in the passage we looked at a call to exalt. And again, to leap for joy, to celebrate. And that is a life that God has called us to, a life exalting. Why can we exalt? We've just mentioned so much. He's given us this gift of justification. And that is just the beginning. That's just the introduction into a brand new way of living, a life of grace. We have the peace of God. We have a hope. We have his love being poured out within our hearts and being flowing to the world around us. That is something we can all exalt in. That's what we've been called to do. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you once again for this gift of justification that you have given to us freely by your grace. And Lord, it's just our response is to follow you and to receive it by faith. Lord, open our eyes to, especially over these next several weeks, when we see how you are, you're calling us to a new way of living. And it's a way of living that's not too impossible for us. It is impossible in one way, but it's not because you have given us grace. Let us see and begin to experience the riches of your grace. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thanks.